G'day, Buzz. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, guys. Great morning to have a couple of cricket gurus in the chair there with you.
Boys did well, Buzz, didn't they?
Oh, they did. I'm a bit tired, to be honest.
Yeah, me too.
I fell asleep during a bit of it, but I watched a lot of it. And, you know, thinking this morning, how do the people in the IPL at Hyderabad feel about not only dropping Dave Warner from their side, but sacking him from the franchise? And I think it was Tom Moody, wasn't it?
But, well, I think Trevor Bayliss is coach. Tom Moody is director of cricket there. But, yeah, well, yeah. It goes to show, mate, it doesn't matter what sport it is. If someone's got that class, then sooner or later they'll come good again. And I think Davey deserves a lot of credit for the way he handled being dropped from his IPL franchise and losing the captaincy. But then to still come out and represent Australia the way he did, I think he deserves a lot of credit.
It just shows form's temporary, isn't it? You know,
so
and
true.
Always come back, you know. And
100%. Now, tell me, mate, what's going on in your world? There's always a lot to report, a lot going on. Stadium Australia, appears the roof is there. Are we going to get a roof out there?
Yeah, it's a really good story, that, because they've spent $800 million on the new stadium at Allianz at Moore Park, but it only holds about 42,000 people. Mind you, it'll be state-of-the-art, world-class. It'll be a great venue for, you know, for the Anzac Day, St George Roosters, a Roosters home ground, Sydney FC home ground, Waratahs home ground. But this city needs a great major event venue for when we have the big rock concerts for State of Origin, for NRL grand finals, and to get people and drag them away from televisions and the comfort of their home. They need to be able to do it in warmth. They need to do it with no rain. They can stay dry. They've got nice facilities there, good bars, good dining facilities, good corporate suites. And the government are going to spend a couple hundred million to do that venue up. And I think it's great news. Look, I don't think it's a great ground for club football. There's too many empty seats with 15, 20,000 there. It looks bad on television. But we do need a major event stadium. And the new one at Moore Park is not big enough for some of the major events Sydney can track.
Yeah, I agree. I think you want the best of both worlds, and I think you're going a long way. I'm not sure whether a couple of hundred million are going to get you that far, but whatever.
Yeah, but what it'll do, a couple of hundred million the roof will allow people to rock up on Origin night, the middle of winter, and be comfortable.
Yeah.
And we will get global entrepreneurs bringing rock stars to the country, knowing that their 80,000 seats they've sold are secure. It doesn't matter, there could be a hurricane or any sort of weather. So they'll come to Sydney instead of Adelaide or Melbourne or Suncorp.
Yeah, I agree with that.
We'll get the money back in tourism dollars.
100%. Now, let's go to NRL. Peter Vallandis, he's saying that minimal rule changes, but a little bit of talk about just refining the six again rule.
Yeah, that's a good one. I put that in my column on Sunday, actually. What they found, I think the rule will be when you're in your own quarter trying to get the football down the other end, teams, and Penrith were very good at it, didn't mind giving away a six again in that area of the football field. It's a lot better than giving away a penalty. And it's early in the count. It doesn't really matter because, you know, there's plenty of tackles to go anyway. So I think it's a good rule. And teams like the Panthers won't be as keen knowing, geez, there's a threat they're going to give away a penalty and they'll get downfield.
In your column today as well, Buzz, you talk about the integrity of the draw and how it would be solved if an 18th team comes in by shortening the comp to 18 rounds. I totally agree with you here. I think having everyone plays each other once plus a derby, that's what you're getting at in today's paper and shortening the season. But what would the broadcaster say about that?
No, well, that's an interesting point. But remember, with 18 teams, they get one extra. The broadcasters get one extra game each week. So what, over 18 rounds, that's an extra 18 games of football, which is like having an extra 3 rounds anyway. My point is this, the NFL season, because of player welfare and TV networks in America, we have far bigger broadcast deals than us, they only go for 18 weeks, the entire competition. under this scenario, the NRL would go for 18 weeks, would then have a 4 or 5 week final series. So it would actually be 23 weeks. And that would then give a month at the end of the season to play our Rep 40. We could play Tonga versus Australia, Tonga versus New Zealand, these great games. You know what? England, where they could come here or we could go there. You know, the French are building with the success of Catalans. And I just think long term, we've got to look, and is the game internationally, shouldn't we have a vision? Shouldn't we hope that it does grow? And we're a pretty minor international sport when you look at soccer, you look at cricket, you look at rugby union. And it's time, I think, the NRL. I'm not talking about doing this next season. I'm talking about down the track when, you know, 30, 40 years, we want to have an international game. And this new owner at South Sydney with his connections in the US, we've got some really powerful world figures involved in rugby league. Now, the Murdoch family with the Broncos, you know, Nick Politis, you know, Russell Crowe, James Packer, and now Mike Cannon-Brookes at the Rabbitohs. We've got people who can reach into all areas of this planet and grow rugby league. And I think we've got to look a lot further than just NRL each week. And as much as, you know, as much as we love it, we've got to look, you know, bigger.
What about where the NRL is with this anti-vax stuff, Buzz? Are we going to see all our best players on the field?
Oh, well, Dave Riccio did a very good story on the weekend, Clarkie. There's 15 players, and he named a few of them, and particularly Josh Papali'i and some really, really big-name players who just don't want to have the injection. The big story in the AFL that Carlton star defender Liam Jones has abandoned his million-dollar contract because he will not get jabbed and is retired from the AFL. And the Bulldog, Dean Ritchie, had a similar story at the Canterbury Bulldogs where John Asiata has told Phil Gould that he would rather get a job on a building site or do anything rather than get the jab. So his future at Canterbury is obviously in grave doubt. He will not get the vaccination. And, you know, he's got his reasons why. And, you know, it should be freedom of choice as much as we want everyone to get vaxxed. But I think it's particularly a problem in Canberra because they've got 4 players.
Yeah.
According to Dave Riccio's story, don't want to be jabbed. And I think, you know, it's a real problem for Ricky Stewart because they've got to start training in the next week and there's 4 players there who haven't been vaccinated.
Yeah, teams are starting to train now. They're back in. It's all about your pre-season. If you don't turn up and you don't get your pre-season done, then you're in for a long, hard slog. Latrell Mitchell, I think he's still got a 1-game ban, is he, after all of this? Or does he make it back into round one or round two? But there's a lot of PR around Mitchell and unfair treatment.
Yeah, there is. And I've done my column on it this morning in the Telegraph, and this came from a Danny Widler story in his column over the weekend, and Blake Solly has complained about the treatment of Latrell by the NRL and under the headline, South Claim NRL Exploiting Mitchell. Now, this is a really interesting story, and it's one that I think Wayne Bennett wanted to move on from very, very quickly when the incident happened in round 25 of the competition. And South, as we all know now, put it aside and went on to make the grand final. They were so impressive during the series, even without Latrell. But eventually, it probably cost them a spot in the grand final. And I think it's really disappointing now that South have revisited it, and I think that, you know, the poor Latrell party is going on forever, and I think it'd be to the detriment of South. I think they've got to move on. I think what Latrell got, I think, and people now know that Joey Manu, who was the victim of his reckless tackle, has 3 plates in his head, 12 bolts. He'll have it there forever, and I think Latrell was lucky to get 6 weeks. I don't know why they have to keep bringing it up and claiming some sort of problem they got with the NRL about it.
should be plenty going on with regards to player signings, we think, in the next couple of weeks. And contracts, Buzz, I think the two big, well, firstly Parramatta and also the Dolphins, when we see the first big marquee name signed by the new club.
Yeah, I know Peter Bedell's been writing north of the border that Redcliffe are the front runners to sign Brandon Smith, and wouldn't that be a great marquee signing? Mm. I did my top 50 players recently, and Brandon Smith was an easy choice in the top 10 players in the game. I'm not as confident as Peter is. I do know that the Roosters, and I think we all know what players Nick Politis wants, he normally gets. Well, Brandon Smith's going to come and spend a week in Sydney. He's in an apartment. He's going to be in an apartment in Coogee. He's going to spend a lot of time with the Kiwi players at the Roosters and Joey Manu and Jared Werra-Hargreaves. And they're going to do it. Trent Robinson will do the big sell. And I think Brandon Smith will get an understanding that playing for Trent Robinson and playing for a powerful club might be a bit more appealing, especially if they match the Redcliffe money, for him to, you know, come and join the Roosters. And they've left a lot of cap money aside for next year to make that deal happen. And I think, if I was a betting man, I'd have something on him to beat the Roosters.
Well, the other, be cool.
It'll come out of a system. It'll come out of a system that he's similar to as well, and he'll enjoy it because they'll be successful. You know that.
Well, they're very similar to Melbourne Storm, aren't they?
Yep.
And, you know, Trent Robinson and Craig Bellamy and Wayne Bennett are obviously the top three coaches in the game. The other big story, and it is a concern for the Parramatta Eels fan, is Clint Gutherson, Reid Marnie and Junior Paulo are off contract. I think it's pretty poor management by the Eels football department to have so many of their marquee players off contract at the same time. Most other clubs try to juggle it a bit and, you know, have one coming off this year, another next. So they're not, they don't have this hassle right now. They've signed Regan Campbell-Gillard. It's on the back page of the telly today that Gutherson's had three offers from rival clubs. He's a great captain of Parramatta. I think it would be a public relations disaster if he's allowed to leave. Same with the other players. How do Parramatta fans feel about Reid Marnie being in a Chinese restaurant with Phil Gould last week at Canterbury?
Nervous, I think, is the answer to that question.
What a coincidence.
Yeah, well, it is.
They both like the fried rice and that table.
And he was offered fortune cookies. What's
the player meant to do there as well, though, Buzz? Like, I feel with Clint, for example, I've no doubt, you know, Parramatta's captain, loyal to his fans, he would want to stay. But again, it seems to me it's going to come down to that balance between the length of contract, but more importantly, the money. So do Parramatta hold tight and say, this is what we're willing to spend? Or do they go the other way and say, no, we do see you as different. You are our captain. You are loyal to the club and we will give in.
Oh, I think they should move heaven and earth to keep Clint Gutherson because he's got such a tight relationship with the coach, Brad Arthur, and he's been a great leader, and he did a great job this year during the final series. I just can't believe we're even talking about it. And I don't like this system. We're so early. The next club Clint Gutherson signs for, he won't be playing for them for another 18 months in March 2023. That's about 18 months away. So why are we... Yeah, he's got another year to go at the Parramatta Eels, and so do these other players. So if you were offered a job at 2GB, would you stay around for 18 months at your current employer?
I reckon if I signed it, I'd be booted out of here quick smart.
Well,
I reckon I'd get a choice.
it's the same in any business. And I can't work out how the NRL considers this an acceptable system they've got. And I think we need to have, midway through next year, maybe during Origin or quiet time, have a draft where all these players who are coming off contract at the end of the season put their name into this computer that has all the data. And like the AFL, we televise it and we have a trade period.
Yeah, Buzz, that's all. I agree. There's no issue with that. You've got to get. Just all you got to do is get the players' union to agree to that. because it's
players don't need to know this far out what they're doing in March 2023.
No, I agree with all of that, and you're 100% right. Like, but the draft, as soon as you start talking draft, you've got legal issues. But the way around it, as soon as the Players Association agree to it, then the draft, that means the players have actually agreed to it, and it goes away. And then you can have your draft. You could have a draft at the end. You can have your draft whenever you want. It doesn't matter. But you're right. It'll be a great spectacle. The AFL draft is a great spectacle. But because it's all approved by the players' union, and that's the issue. I agree with the system. I think you're right. But, you know, Clinton Co. are the ones at the players that need to sort it out.
Yeah, look, I did a story on the weekend that Parramatta's membership is the highest it's ever been at this time of the year, despite the difficulties they're having in retaining their star players. But they spend a lot of money, these members.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
How do they feel with these guys being shopped around and going to Chinese restaurants? And this is the one case we know about. They're meeting in cafes all across Sydney with other clubs. And I just don't think it's right. So far out from when they'll actually be employed by their next club.
Now, speaking of cafes, you'll be heading down to Cronulla to have coffee with your five little buddies out the front of the coffee shop there?
Yeah, well, I might. Normally Tuesday, mate. Coffee's down at Bianchini's there. And,
there's a free coffee. Ching, ching. There's a free one for you, Buzz.
Yeah, no. I enjoy a coffee down at Cronulla. It's a beautiful way to spend the morning on a day off. I like having my days off during the week. There's not as many people around. You know, you can actually get a seat in the park and all that sort of thing.
You can see you sitting in the park.
Yeah, how are you going, Clarky?
I'm doing well, mate. How are you doing? Which Clark are you talking to?
Which one are you talking to?
Of course. Yeah, no. Marshall, I forgot you were both the same. Yeah.
Exactly. Wow, no. Very different. One with an E, one without.
Yeah.
I haven't seen you in Sydney Confidential, mate, for a few weeks.
Oh, haven't you? What a shame.
Your life seems to stay.
Disappointing. Does that part of the paper still exist?
Yeah, no, it's still there, mate.
He's got exclusive
rights.
Tell
them all I say hi anyway.
Yeah, I will.
Exclusive rights with other publications. Good on you, Buzz. Chat soon, mate.
Good on you. Talk soon. Cheers.